Esther chapter 4. I have been waiting for Esther chapter 4. This is going to be at least a 2, maybe 3 weeker. All right. All right. Chapter 4. Chapter 4 is kind of the apex of our Christian walk as believers. I want to ask you some serious questions in this chapter. I want to ask you, have you ever been in a likely place like this chapter? I like to ask, have you passed up opportunities to be in this chapter? And what made you choose to accept the challenge? Or what made you choose to back down from the challenge? Is that enough introduction? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for what you want to say and do through your servant. This is your word. You wrote it. You know every aspect of it. Teach your servant that others may be taught. For those of us who need conviction, I pray you'll convict us. And those of us who need comfort, that you would comfort us. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
I would like to see if we can just read the entire chapter. Well, I'm not going to see. We're going to do it. How about that? Just to give us a good breakdown of what this is all about. When Mordecai learned on the 14th day of the month of March, 474 BC, all that was done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the center of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. And came before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, fasting, weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he accepted it not. Then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to learn what it was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai into the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and of the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them. Show it unto Esther and explain it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplications unto him and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spoke unto Hatach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, saying, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king for 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holds thy peace at this time, then there shall relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But remember this, thou and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Then Esther told them to return to Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Bless the reading of the word of the Lord. How many of you, we don't have this practice today, according to verse 1, when Mordecai learned all that was done and all that had been said and all that had been written, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the center of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. How many of you ever just been hurting? Just hurting. And sometimes the last people that other Christians allow to know is other Christians. Because sometimes we think we ought to be stronger than what we're going through. Can I have an amen? You ever heard or said a stupid statement like this? "I should be able to handle this better." Who made you so strong? Who made you the king of kings and overriding trouble? I thought that was God's business. I felt like some sackcloth. It's very uncomfortable. Made out of camel hair and wool. I don't know about you, but wool just, if it touches my skin, oh, it just drives me nuts. It itch. Am I the only one?
No.
Oh. And they just, you know, you're already miserable, so you go and put some on to make you more miserable. That's a Christian feat right there. I'm already feeling bad. Let's just do some more to make me feel worse. You ever been there?
Yeah.
And when you're hurting so bad, do you hate to be around happy people?
Yeah.
Or do you try to find someone that's just as sad as you are? Help you feel good about being in sackcloth and ashes. When we was in the book of Romans, I think we talked about entrepreneurs. One of the greatest entrepreneurs back in the day of Jesus was to always know when he was coming to town. Tailors and soap makers made lots of money when Jesus came to town. Because the Pharisees and Sadducees was always tearing their clothes and throwing soap on each other. Can I have an amen? See, that's an entrepreneur right there. Jesus is coming. Order some more soap. Get some more clothes, girl. Get some thread. We're going to have some suits coming in here. I don't know what it is about us. I think some of us as Christians don't feel good unless things are going wrong. It's so we can pretend like it's not so bad. We get real holy when we hurt. You ever notice that? Am I preaching to the walls?
No, sir.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I should be able to handle this better. Should you be able to handle your salvation better?
Yeah.
Than what Jesus can do? I love Mordecai. Mordecai wants everybody to know he's hurting. Yeah. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Maybe someone can do something about it. You just share it. Some of us share it because we don't want to do anything about it. And we hope someone else will do it for us. Joe, should I be this personal? Just go ahead and do it. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
I thought it ought to be about a 2, 3, 4 week, you know, chapter 4. Because I just want to ask a simple question by the time we get to the end of the chapter. And that is, what do you think it means when the statement is made for such a time as this? I mean, how many times have we heard that? But what does it mean? Would you know that you are in the middle of such a time as this? Oh, you know, that's no big deal. That's just a little happening over there at the school. No big deal. I mean, we don't go to public school anyway. We are Christians. My kids in private school, so it's okay. Now, did I say private school was wrong?
No, sir.
Did I say public school was wrong?
No, sir.
No. It's just what God leads you as a family. But the question is, why did he lead you that way? You can't protect your kids only so much. But you know what I've learned? Homeschool, private school, public school, Christian kids still sin. I just hadn't got away from that yet. Just cheaper to sin in public school. Good to have it, amen. Did I say that out loud? Did that come out? I should be ashamed of that. Snap yourself. Throw some sackcloths on ourselves. Sometimes I just feel like yelling, letting somebody know I'm hurting. But then that little Holy Spirit, I think it may be the Holy Spirit, could be some flesh. And then we'll speak in and go, oh, you folks be stronger than that. Why are you throwing dust on yourself? You're just trying to bring attention to yourself. Do you think Mordecai cares about if anyone thinks about what he thinks? That's some serious problem going on. Somebody wants to kill me. And all my relatives. So if they miss me, they're going to get all my relatives. So they're going to get all of us. Ain't nothing going to be left. Help me! And then he goes and gets in his closet. Can't hear you. No, my boy gets out of that closet. He goes to the King's Gate. Can I have an amen? And I'm not talking about right up the road here. King's Gate. I would love for someone to get the videotape, the cassette and try to figure that statement out. He went straight to the King's Gate. He said, I can't go on the other side of King's Gate, but I can yell from here. Ah! Ah, that's some dust. Sackcloth on me. Somebody hear me. Sometimes we Christians just need to scream out for help. I can't make it. I can't do it. Now, we're not asking to yell and scream out just so we can get attention. You know what I mean? Some of us in here that are Christians, man, are just glory hounds. You want to be the center of attention for the wrong reason. And it's very important for you and I to know the different Christians so we know what they're really like so we know how to respond. Because if they're just in the middle of getting attention, you just look at them, as much love as you can muster them, say, shut up. Just get away from me. You're making me sick. I remember one year I was in college, my junior year, and we had God had just given us a tremendous ministry. And this kid came up to me one day and go, Hutch, I go, yeah. Man, I've been having all kinds of trouble with lust. Really? Oh, man, I cannot believe it. I said, man, that was okay. So, you know, we have practice, and after practice, I come down to the room, and we'll talk and see what the issue is. Man, I walk in this room. They have Playboy pinups all over the wall. I said, brother, I know why you got lust problems, and I don't get out of your room, I'm going to have the same ones. You don't want to get rid of your lust problem. You just want someone to help you through lusting. Can I have a little amen on that? Well, I can't speak too much for ladies, but y'all got problems too. You remember too much.
Amen.
And don't ask us, do you remember what I was wearing when you first met me? Give me a little hint, when did we first meet? You want to go there? I can go there too. Can I have an amen? I don't know what it is, but you know, that's a balance here, though, isn't it, in Christianity? What we let people know and what we shouldn't let them know? Mm-hmm. What we better let people know and what we better not let people know?
Yeah.
That's wisdom.
Amen.
From the Holy Spirit. And this problem evidently is just too big for Mordecai. It's too big for the Jewish people. And it's absolutely amazing that all the Jewish people have heard except Esther. Because we build our surroundings to protect us. See, Esther's been there for almost 5 years now, queen. But she's right in the palace where this was built, written, sent out from, and she don't even know what's going on. You know how many Christians won't watch the news? I don't want to know what's going on. You better know what's going on out there because they're talking about you. Control it. Got all kinds of ways to control what news you get. You ain't got to just turn on the TV and just watch any news. You got internet. You got smartphones. They'll tell you stuff you don't want to know about yourself. You got Facebook, Twitter. Well, you tweet. You get anything you want and control it. Used to be a time where it was just this what you got. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
So you can control the kind of news you get, but get the news. Find out what they're saying about us. So you can put on some sackcloth and throw some dust on you if you need to. So you can ask at the king's gate. But he knew something. He better not go on the other side of that king's gate. He still got his logic. King said, you don't come before me wearing no sackcloth and ashes. How many of you felt like you got friends that you really can't share the truth with? Because they're not going to let you come to them with sackcloth and ashes on. Make you feel guilty about being human. Come on, Pastor. I heard that response of the children. Oh, baby. You ever been there? Got that fake victory. You ever seen them Christians like that? Cry like crazy when they're by themselves. Miserable. No victory at all, but get in front of you and they just cheese up. Oh, things are so good. God is just so good. I just can't stand it. Liar. You know when you're lying. You know, we Christians know so much about when we're lying. We don't trust when someone else has victory and is telling the truth. We can't tell the difference. How many verses have we gotten to so far? We're rolling. Threw the sackcloth on. Came before the king's gate, for none might enter to the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Check this out. And in every province, was that 127 provinces, I think it was, in the Persia deal? And in every province, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between what's going to happen in chapter 5 and what's going on in chapter 4? It's the same Jews. One group of Jews says, we can fight. That's chapter 5. Other set of Jews are going, we're doomed. So one group is wailing and crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth. The other picks up their sword. What makes the difference? I think the difference is if we can really understand for such a time as this. And if I perish, I perish. I don't know. Because victory comes in the same house as defeat does. Isn't that amazing? What makes us change from thinking there's nothing going right to knowing that God can make everything just fine? You see, me living yesterday helps me understand today, there's a great tomorrow. Yes. I hope some of you really understand what I just said. Knowing what God has done for me yesterday, make regardless what's going on today, to know that tomorrow is okay. And if I know tomorrow's okay, I can deal with today. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, God only asks us to trust him for right now. That's it. That's all the faith you and I have. Just enough faith for right. God don't give you enough faith for tomorrow. And we got too many Christians trying to live on today's faith with tomorrow's problem. Talk to the pastor. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do next week. You may not be here next week. I know what you're going to do if you ain't here next week. You're going to be rejoicing with Jesus if you're a Christian, and you're going to be at the Winnie roast if you're not. Can I have an amen? Either way, you ain't got to worry about it. Oh, I guess I'm enjoying this too much, huh? I shouldn't enjoy this much. But if I'm going to be miserable, share it. Share it. I'm at the King's Gate. So Esther's maids, who still deals with the common folk. Can I have an amen? They still walk out and in and do different things. You know what? Something hit me the other day and today. I wonder if her maids and chamberlains are Jews. Are they all Persians? Because they're chosen by the king. Now here is the top Jew in town. Can I have an amen? Esther is the top Jew in town. And she gets her information from her slaves about what's going on with her people. Do you know what's going on with Mordecai, girl? I'm pretty sure that's your, was he a cousin? Was a cousin, right? No? What's going on with it? He's out there by the King's Gate with some sackcloth and throwing ashes, girl. Dust flying everywhere around that man. Do you know what's wrong with it? No, I hadn't seen him for a while. Just like the king. Isn't that something? If you don't see the king for a while, that's okay. But if you don't see the people with the information to let you know what's going on for a while, you know what I'm talking about, right? When you go over that first day without studying the Bible. When you go 2-3 days without picking up the book. When you go a week without picking up the book, you know, not spending time with the one who knows what's going on. Whoa!
Come on now.
Did the pastor say that?
Yeah.
When you spend 2 weeks not picking up, you find out what's going on from who knows what's going on. He even knows what's going on when you don't know what's going on with you.
Amen.
You know, kind of like he made you.
Amen.
Now, if I want to learn out about my diesel truck, find out how it runs, I do not call the Maytag man. Even though he got lots of time on his hand. Can I have an amen? If I want to know how my truck runs, you call a Dodge. Yeah, that's what I got. You don't call Frigidaire. God made me. He's got the owner's manual. Called a Bible. But we'll go a lot of times not picking up the manual to see how we ought to run and how we ought to do things and how we ought to set up to get it working kind of efficiently. What happened with Esther? She's sitting over there with the wrong owner's manual. How many of you gone a month without studying? Don't raise your hand because we'll church discipline you. What? A month without the work? Beat him. Well, you might as well be beat. If you've been a month or since you've been in the work, you're getting beat. And some of us don't feel bad about not getting in the work for a month. Well, we never would think about not eating for a month. 30 minutes. That's sad right there, but true. Because I know I'm on that page, baby. When I feel like eating, give me some food. Razor sharp. People was writing the other day on Facebook talking about soup. Where's Nance at? Soup. You better preach me. You better send me some soup if you got some dead cow in it. I said, man, ain't nothing like a ribeye steak soup cooked on a grill. soup. I want some protein. Some vitamin Bible. You been there? You miss it? You see how you get beat when you don't get in it? Simple decisions get tough. And you just want to put sackcloth on and throw ashes. Chapter 4. What is for such a time as this? Who is meant to be for such a time as this? Can you recognize a time such as this? And do you understand what your responsibilities is in such a time as this? Oh, it's just news. It's just what they're doing in school. It's just what they're trying to do down on the job at the government work. It's no big deal. Want a bet? Because whether you believe it or not, every secular decision that you didn't speak up about will affect you. And one thing I never want my children to say is, Dad, where were you when all this happened? Didn't you see it? Because the only thing left to do when the kids ask you a question like that, put on some sackcloth and throw some dust. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Well, has people got some music out there for me, Barney? Wendell, we're going to have some, we got to set up. I talked to Dr. Newby, you know, down there in South Africa about a gospel Sunday. Soul Gospel Sunday. Sometime in the end of November, 1st of December, we're going to blow it up. We're going to blow it up. I don't know about you folks, but it's too many of us in sackcloth and ashes. Don't know when to share. Don't know when not to share. Don't even know that we're supposed to share in our Christian walk. Don't get fooled. We need one another. And we need to let people that don't want to know, know. We need each other. That's the only way it's going to work. That's what the church is all about. Nobody's more important than anyone else. We're all the body of Christ. And if nothing else, I got some kneeling thread for you. And I got some good soap. We'll help clean each other up. Father, thank you. Amen.